before we study our lesson out of Luke 2, what I want us to do is we're going to do something we do here on a regular basis. We're going to cast our cares on the Lord. But to get us ready to that point, for us to breathe out so we can breathe in, there's a couple of levels to this thing. People all over the world, Christian type folks all over the world today are going to be singing those kind of songs and talking about the birth of Jesus. Man, I am thrilled to death with that thought. I don't think there's any bad day to talk about Jesus. But now, the reason I said it that way is I grew up at a time and under an influence that basically said that this was the one time of year you shouldn't talk about the birth of Jesus because we don't know when Jesus was born. And so let me go ahead and tell you, I don't know what exact day Jesus was born. All right? I just thank God He was born, right? And I like to celebrate that He is born, and I'll celebrate it today, I'll celebrate it tomorrow, I'll celebrate it on Tuesday, I'll celebrate it the next day too, won't you? Jesus is alive. Thank God He was born. Thank God He lived His life. Thank God He died for our sins. Thank God He was raised to overcome death. Thank God He's alive right now waiting on us to come home, right? Right. Now, I also grew up being told, we don't know what day He was born, and we don't know there were three wise men. And we don't, really. A lot of the traditions that have grown up about Christmas have been told by people and retold without thought to the point that we really don't know. Okay, honest, we don't know that there were three wise men. The Bible never says. Now, it makes sense that there were three wise men since there were three gifts. Right? Would you like to have been the wise men that showed up without a gift for the King of Kings? That would have been me. His name would have been Rexelsius or something. Yeah, it would have been a bad deal. No, I don't know. I don't know how many wise men there were. I don't know if there was a stable. You don't know there's a stable? No, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus was born in a stable. It says the baby was laid in a manger, and a manger's a feeding trough, and you'd get a feeding trough probably from a stable. But we don't know if it was in the stable where the baby was born. We just know the manger was there, was for his first crib. I don't know if it was that much of a silent night, to be real honest. Because there was a baby crying, and the cattle are supposed to be lowing. And I don't know what lowing means, but it can't be quiet. And there was that drummer boy playing, so I know it wasn't a very silent night, right? I don't know about wise men, and I don't know about stables. And I don't know about silent nights or midnight clears. I don't know about those kind of things. But here's what I know. That there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, now mark it down, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. One more time and underline. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And it stopped there. We've grown up with all these traditions. We've grown up with all of these images that were built up by not just religious people telling the story of Jesus' birth, but by Disney and Hallmark and Coca-Cola about Christmas. I want us to get back to the heart. But how do they say it? The reason for the season? Celebrate that there was on that day, whatever date, on that day there was born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, time out. While we're talking about Christmas, and you talk about, from my family perspective, from my culture, you talk about family, and I got a bunch of my family here. But if you talk to anybody named Boyles or anybody connected with Boyles about Christmas, and what's the first thought that comes to your mind? family. I mean, we all got together. We'd kids, grandkids, great grandkids, they'd all flock out to the farm. That was Christmas. That is Christmas for us. Now this year we're making some adjustments of that, but that's Christmas for us. And it wasn't so much about, especially as we got older, it wasn't so much about presence as just being present. We just liked being together. Especially like eating, but we love to be together. But now, I recognize that the way I was raised was not the way some of you were raised. And be real honest, I think it's fair. I think it's right. I think it's responsible for us to, before we say anything else about Christmas and family and Santa Claus and presents, we talk about what's going really on in the world, what really goes on in the world. So we'll start first with family, and then I want us to give you a chance to cast your cares on the Lord. When you talk to me about family, I can't help but my heart be filled up with love for my dad, for my mother, for my brothers, my sister-in-laws, my aunts and uncles, cousins, brothers, all of them, right? But when I talk about family and enjoy that memory, there's some of you that don't. So the truth is, in this room, not talking about anybody out there, in this room there are people that when they think family, they think, and I'll let you tell me, it's not joy, and it's not hope, and it's not love, and it's not together, and it's not peace. When you think family, what do you think? And I know we've got visitors, and visitors always make you nervous. But the visitors can't hear you anyway. We've got too many kids, so just talk, right? When you think family, what do you think?
In ours, it's, I think, kids, loud noises, chaos, you know. And then there's times when we worry about if something goes wrong, like the moms, my mom or my aunt, they're like, you know, and I'm like, oh. So that part kind of makes me kind of like, oh God, It's time to go. But once we're all there and everything, and especially at the end of the night when everybody's already, you know, had fun with each other and talked with each other, it feels so amazing and peaceful.
So there is lots of chaos with family, lots of noise with family, but there still is something amazing about family. And I'm glad, but there's some of you, honest, that's not what you feel when you feel family. When you talk family, that's not what you're thinking. What are you thinking?
Failure.
When you're thinking about family, what are you thinking? Okay, while we're still trying to get settled, let's talk. In this room, there are people who feel when they talk about family, they talk about failure. Some will talk about jail. Some will talk about hospitals. Some will talk about disease. Some will talk about heartache. Some will talk about betrayal. Some will talk about hurt. I talk about family, you talk to me about family, and I get all excited and I feel love and warm. You talk about family and it makes you put a knot in your belly and hard for you to breathe. In this room, I know that's the case because you've been kind enough, open enough to share it with me. That's who we are. That was the kind of world Jesus came into. That was the kind of world Jesus came into. He didn't come into a Hallmark card. He didn't come into a Disney movie. He came into a world that was filled with all kinds of heartache, all kinds of pain, all kinds of trouble. And I know that's true because look at the verse again. Now you tell me so you know I'm not making it up. When he said, today born in the town of, in the city of David, there is what? Say it so you know I'm not making it up. Say it again, I need to hear you. A Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. And we're going to focus on those two words. If Jesus was sent to be a Savior, if He was born to be a Savior, that demands what? That implies what? Infers, however way you want to say it, what is the root, the cause of that? Say it. Sin. We would not have needed a Savior if there was not sin. Now hang on. Let's be honest, and I know it's tough today because this is Christmas. I've got all the kids, I've got lots of visitors, but let's be honest about it. What are we talking about when we're talking about sin? I don't want theology. I want us to be honest because unless we're honest about things, we're not going to change things. But when we talk about sin, and I'm not talking about out there, I'm talking about in here, what are we talking about? I'm sorry?
My way.
Your way. What are we talking about?
Lust.
Let's be honest. What are we talking about? Adultery. What are we talking about?
Selfishness.
What are we talking about? I'm sorry? Lies. What are we talking about?
Addictions.
What are we talking about? Anger. What are we talking about? I'm sorry? What are we talking about? Gossip. What are we talking about? Cursing?
Yeah.
Lying?
Money.
Stealing? It's happening in this room, folks. It's happening, folks, in this room. We're not talking about out there. We're not talking about the list in the Bible. We're talking about the things that take place in our lives. This is us. In this room, there's been adultery. In this last year, there's been adultery and addictions and betrayal and hatred. That's in this room. That's not any of those old sinners out there. That's us old sinners in here. And Jesus came into the world to be a Savior for? Yep, for me. He came in the world to be a Savior for me. And if He came to be a Savior, that means He's got to take care of my sin, right? But now, what does sin bring? Always. Now, Bible students, kick in. If I know that there's sin, what else do I know? There's sin. There's a sinner. But sin leads to death. And that's death toward God. That's death toward God. That's death toward life with God. And that means sinners have no hope. That's us. That was us. We were in that place when we were in our sin. So Jesus was given. Well, Jesus was born so you and I could have a Savior who would take care of this mess for us. So no wonder it was good news of great joy, right? Now, I got to tell you, I was talking to a lady, good lady, good-hearted lady, good Bible-reading, church-going lady. She wasn't taught about Jesus, so I was trying to teach her about Jesus, and she finally stopped me. She was frustrated. She said, "Rex, you keep talking about sin, and I'm kind of bothered by that." She says, "'Cause I don't sin." Now, I knew that she didn't mean what she was saying. She had to mean something different, so I kept asking her questions and kept getting her to talk, and then it dawned on me. And you know, as soon as I start this, you're going to know where she came from, because some of you were there and are still there. She had grown up in a church. She had grown up in a church where she had been taught that there were only certain things that were real bad sins, and there were other things that might be considered sin, but they weren't real bad, so they couldn't be considered real sin. They were just struggles, issues. Anybody in here ever use the phrase, it was a white lie? Yeah, where'd we get that? We got that because we didn't want to admit that we just lied, right? So I asked her, I said, then I understood, She had sinned. She just hadn't done the big ones. She hadn't killed anybody. She hadn't committed adultery, you know, those kind of things. And so I asked her, I said, "So, have you ever felt guilty?" Oh man, tears started pouring. Heart opened up. She said, "Oh, I feel so guilty about..." And she started telling me all this stuff she felt guilty about. And then I realized something about us. Took me a long time to figure it out, but she helped me realize something about us. We don't always want to talk about sin. We don't always want to talk about what the Bible says is sin. What we sometimes need to do is figure out, what are those things that are making us feel guilty? What are those things... Well, what happens? When somebody sins, what happens? Well, we already said one, they feel guilty. But what does guilty lead to? Hey, you withdraw, don't you? What does the puppy do that knows it's done something it shouldn't do? Cowers. What does the child do that does something you shouldn't do? Hides in his bedroom. What does an adult do when they've sinned and they know they've sinned, and especially if it's a public sin, what do? They withdraw. People stop coming to church because they don't want to be around people like you, though here they fit in pretty good. They don't want to go to church because they feel like they're not as good as, so they begin to withdraw because of their fear. And then you know where that leads? Where does that lead? If you feel guilty and it causes you to withdraw, eventually where does it lead? Yep, somebody's read it. It leads to anger, leads to bitterness. Now let's do this again. Anybody in the last year felt guilty? Anybody in the last year felt afraid of anything, being found out? Afraid of somebody telling? Afraid of consequences of your sin? Anybody in this room ever felt bitter? Ever felt angry? Ever felt frustrated with yourself or with somebody else because of sin? Folks, that's Jesus came to take that away. Jesus came as a Savior. Now, we know the story. We've read it. We've talked about it in here. That Jesus came into the world. He died and He paid the price for that sin. He conquered death. He took away our sin. And once He took away the sin, He cleansed us of our guilt. There's no need for us to be afraid. He gave us peace. And He took away our anger and gave us love. He gave us confidence to replace our guilt. He gave us peace to take away our fear. He gave us love to take away our anger. Did He give that to you this year? Did He give it to you this year? Because that's why He came. That's why He came, was to give you what a Savior would give you. I'm glad their people have little nativity scenes up. I'm glad they think about Jesus. I wish they paid more attention to the real Jesus than the plastic baby with the light bulb in his belly. Because the real Jesus didn't glow in the dark except one time, I know. The real Jesus, I don't know about plastic hay and plastic cows and plastic manger. I don't know all that stuff. But the real Jesus came to be a Savior. So while we sing our Christmas carols and while we buy our Christmas presents, while we decorate our tree and put angels and stars at the top, let's not forget that wonderful, wonderful story filled with good news of great joy was good news and great joy for folks like us. It wasn't a holiday. It wasn't a holiday. It was a holy day where Jesus came into the world to take away my sin. That's reason today to have some good news. Have some great joy, right? But He didn't just come as a Savior. It says He came as the Lord. Christ the Lord. So if He came as... I know, it's y'all got the easy one. That's the hard one. If He came as a Savior, that means we needed Him because of our sin. But why did He come as Lord? Why did we need Him as Lord? Why did we need Him as Lord?
To lead us.
To lead us. Why did we need Him to lead us? Now this is where you talk about, and I'm not talking, don't tell me about those folks, tell me about us. Why did we need Him to lead us?
Because we need Him.
Why do we need to surrender? I agree. Why do we need to surrender to Him?
Take us back to God.
And why did I need Him to take us back to God?
Lost.
I was lost. Well, what in the world got me lost? And don't say sin, because we've already dealt with sin. But I want to know, how did we get there?
My decisions.
You make, there it is. It's your decisions. My decisions. The devil didn't make me do it. My parents mistreating me didn't make me do it. My brothers beating on me. Now that could have had something to do with it. No, it's not about blaming anybody else, is it? It's not about blaming anybody else. It's about us being honest. The reason I got in the mess I got into was not because anybody did anything to me. The reason I got in the mess I got into is because I made choices that led me to those kinds of selfish, foolish, shameful, damaging things. Right? And we sit in church. We sit in church and we talk about what has been happening to us and what people do to us. And I understand sometimes we got to fuss about those kind of things. But the truth is, I got in the mess I got into because of my decisions, my choices. So why do I need a Lord? I need a Lord to guide me. I need a Lord to give me direction. We're like sheep without a shepherd, scattered, lost. So I need somebody to guide me. I like your words. I need somebody to lead me. Now, how does he do that? How does he do that?
By us being a follower.
Ooh. Jesus, real simple. And not always easy, but it was simple. He said, I want you to follow me. That tells me the first thing Jesus did for me. What does the first thing a Lord does for you? He gives you an example to follow. Now I'm going to be mean for a second, okay? I'm going to be mean to us for a second. Some of us parents and some of us grandparents have spent way too much time telling our kids what we think they ought to be doing and telling them what we expect of them and us not following through with our own example. Jesus was never that way. Jesus didn't go tell me what to do. He showed me what to do. That's what I need. I didn't learn how to do anything worth learning without some kind of example to follow. So hang on, parents. I'm going to say this one more time, especially since we've got all our kids in here, so they know I'm on their side. You always want to be on the kids' side. Mamas, daddies, I've heard you tell your kids. In this room, I've heard you tell your kids, do this, don't do that, and it's not something you're doing. You'll tell your kids not to lose their temper while you're losing your temper at them. Does that make sense? You're telling your children you need to control yourself when they have seen you out of control. Does that make sense? You've told your children you need to do what you say and then you don't do what you say. Okay, now so kids, hang on. Don't listen for a second because I got to tell parents. I love you. I love you. I do. I love you, parents. But I'm telling you, when you tell your child, don't do that or I will, and then you don't follow through, guess what you just did? You just convinced that child that you can't be trusted. And you want an example of it? Not just in here. Go to the mall. Go to the mall and watch parents yell at their kids, don't you do that again. If you do that again, I'm going to... And while they're doing it, they're telling them, if you do that again, I'm going to do... No, you don't tell them. Let lightning strike them. You show them. Lay hands on them in that holy biblical way, right? Here's the point. Jesus knew we needed somebody to lead us because we messed up, y'all. And it's not them, it's us. We messed up. We made decisions. We made decisions and choices that got us into a mess. And while we were getting into the mess, we were blaming somebody else for it, and then eventually telling God, it's your fault for making me this way. In this room, I've heard us discuss it. Well, if God didn't want me to do this, why did He make me? No. It's not God's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It's not your brother, your sister, your aunt, your cousin, your wife, or your husband's fault. You made choices. I made choices that led me into trouble. And Jesus was born into the world to be the Lord, to be the one that would give us that example. But He didn't just give us an example. What else did He give us? He gave us guidance by His example and... This one's real easy. It's the one you use the most. By His words. He not only showed us how to do it, He told us to do it. He gave us instruction. We've talked about it a lot here, and it's not the point of this lesson. But did Jesus ever say, I told you I don't want you to commit adultery? And people in the room and churches where I used to preach, everybody could have said, including me at that point, could have said, well, I would never do that. I've never done that. I can't believe anybody would ever do that. In this room, there's none of us going to say that, and I'm sure not going to say it. Because the truth is what Jesus was trying to tell us. He said, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. I'm telling you, don't look at the woman with the intent of that lust. Ooh. Have we listened? Thou shalt not kill. Boy, not me. I never would. I never will. Never. And I can't believe anybody would. He said, no, I'm not talking about killing. I'm saying, but I'm telling you, he who is angry with his brother is in danger. Are we listening? Jesus said that. Jesus gave us instructions on how not to get in a bind, how not to commit the sin, how not to hurt the brother, how not to hurt the family. He gave us that instruction. Are we listening? Left to ourselves, we made a mess of things, right? I did. I'll let you admit it or not. I made a mess of things. I needed a Savior who could take away my sins and relieve me. Not just of the guilt of the sin, but the consequence of the death of sin. But I also needed Jesus to be my Lord. I needed Him to help me make better decisions. I needed Him to help me live a better life. That's what I needed. I needed Jesus as Savior and as Lord. So why do I like Christmas? Why do I like Christmas? I love giving presents. I'm not big on getting them because I hate that tape they put on those boxes. That's bad stuff. But I love Christmas. And then one of the reasons I love Christmas is because people at some point today and some point this week will be talking about the birth of Jesus. It'll be on the news. There'll be religious leaders on camera talking about the birth of Jesus. They'll even show some people rioting because they don't believe that Jesus should be honored. If they're rioting, it just brings up the topic again. Go get them. I love that fat folks are going to talk about the birth of Jesus. But the real reason I love it is because I need Him even now. I need a Savior. I need a Lord. If He came for that reason, isn't that the gift that you'd want to receive from Him today? Let Him be your Savior. Let Him be your Lord. Right? All right. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to eat. We're going to pass some trays, and it's going to have a piece of unleavened bread on it. And that unleavened bread is going to remind us of the body of Jesus. And there's going to be a little cups of grape juice, fruit of the vine, the Bible calls it. It's going to remind us of the blood of Jesus. His body, He came as a baby. Flesh and blood just like us. He lived His life and showed us how to live our lives. And then they killed Him. They crucified Him. And when He died, they buried Him. But on Sunday morning, He was raised from the dead, and we remember Him every Sunday with this supper. We remember Him every Sunday with this feast, with this communion, to say, we remember. And we're going to celebrate His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection until He comes again. All right, let's do that now.